This is I Nightingale, keeping you at home. I'm on the street where you live.
Are there lilac trees? Welcome to I Nightingale Show, inspiring you to live a fulfilling life at home. So welcome everyone. I'm really excited to be here. It's been an awesome week. I've been pumped. I've been hanging out for this show all week. It's been great. Just before we kick off, I'll just say, if you want to call Phoenix Radio on 34 70 46 46 and you have any questions to ask, please do that. That would be really cool. Or tweet at Phil, PHILLTSINGOS. That's me. Or you can tweet at Phoenix Radio. I've got Coral, my producer. She's doing a wonderful job today. And our special guest is Matt Stone from Believe in People, so hang out for that. So we'll have a listen to him soon. And also we have, in lunch break, we have Ronsley. So I'll see what magic he's going to bring to the show today. So I thought we'll start off with the news of what's going on out and about and what I've seen. So the first thing I found was this advanced care planning. There's actually workshops for people working in residential and community aged care settings, going through how to actually do advanced care planning and how to talk through with elderly care people how to do it. So it's a train-the-trainer course, and it's free of charge, put on by Medicare Local. So look up your local Medicare Local. The one I found was on the Metro North side, and their next workshop is on November the 6th. It's a Thursday. It's a full-day event, and it really digs deep into getting people to do advanced care planning, because you see a lot of people admitted to an emergency department, and they're in the late stages of life, basically, and they're not... No one's had the discussion. The family haven't had a talk about what are the wishes of their elderly family members are. And it can lead to a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble if you're trying to do it at the last minute. So it's good to get advanced warning and have a talk and sort out what plan of care you want during their last stages. So that is it from Medicare Local. And also I found, I was hunting around on the web and I found this article put on by the Falls Network. It's published research on perturbation training by Dr. Dana Sternix. I hope I said that right. She's a senior research officer, and Professor Rod Barrett, deputy director of Centre Care for Musculoskeletal Research at Griffith Uni. And basically... the exercise program challenges your balance. So what they're saying is instead of learning to balance while you're calm and staying still and doing it slowly, they actually try to put you off balance and see how you're reacting, increase people's reaction response. Because when people slip, trip or fall over, that's when you need to get your balance and have that quick feet to try and rebalance yourself. And as we get older, that can diminish if we don't exercise and train. So what will happen is you increase your risk of falling. So by doing perturbation training, it's educating yourself to actually, like, if I do slip, you know, learning to have a quick reaction and work that out. And actually, the research showed that there was a 50% reduction in trip-related falls in the 12 months following just a two-week intervention period. So just for 2 weeks they did the perturbation training, and they found for 12 months after that that there was a 50% reduction in falls, which is amazing. So it's something really good to look out for, and you know, you go speak to your local physio and see if they can offer that sort of training. But I did find a lot of sites on the web that will help you with perturbation training, which is a great thing, because that's when people are most likely to fall, is when they're unbalanced, not aware of what's going on, and then they have a tumble. So that's our night news.
Get out the house.
Welcome back to the I Nightingale Show. And I thought we'll stretch the legs a bit further today and put our scarves on. It's a nice day and go for a cruise in the car. And for get out the house today, a couple of good things I found. The first one is the Beatles 1964 Australian Tour Exhibition. How cool was this be? It's up at the Cobb & Co Museum in Toowoomba City. So if you fancy a bit of a drive up the hill, it'd be really cool. It's at the 27 Lindsay Street, Toowoomba. And admission is free, and it's will take you back to 1964 with photos, footage of the Melbourne Festival Hall concert, original Brisbane Hall seats, and some rare and unusual memorabilia, including recreated bedroom decorated with Beatles posters, records, and even curtains. Gosh, did they have Beatles curtains? That's amazing. So if you want to get back, step back in time and see the Beatles tour, go up to the Cobb & Co Museum in Toowoomba Town. Then I found something else that was really cool. It's called Black Diggers. It's on at the QPAC in Melbourne Street and Grey Street in South Brisbane. And this is put on by the Queensland Theatre and Sydney Festival production. And it marks 100 years since the outbreak of the First World War. And Black Diggers explores the untold and exceptional stories of Indigenous Australian soldiers shunned in their own country and banned from serving in the military. Aboriginal men hid their heritage and enlist to take up the arms to defend free world in its greatest time of need. So that's really good to get along to if you want to get into Brisbane and have a look around at the QPAC and have a look at Black Diggers. That'd be really good. And then if you like a bit of old Shakespeare, so the Shakespeare Festival is on at the University of Southern Queensland. It's in West Street in Darling Heights, and they're putting on shows for the whole month, basically. Depending where you go, the cost will vary between shows. You can either check the website out at artsworks, and they spell it artsworx.com.au, or you can call Sophie Blackall Kane on 4631 1111. And that's if you want to get a bit of a festival, Shakespeare festival and have a look at what they're up to. And then last but not least, I always love mentioning the Robble Domain Markets. They're on every Saturday morning. So get down there and get your fresh fruit and veg. Get out and have a chat and see some people. And that should be a good morning out and have some lovely, good free range and organic products there and get you going through the day.
Kitchen Conversations.
Welcome back to Our Nightingale Show, and my favourite part of the day is Kitchen Conversations, and our special guest today is Matt Stone. Matt Stone has worked in the disability sector for more than 20 years. His involvement with people with a disability and their families began in Mamre community in 1989, where he worked as a support worker. Most recently, Matt worked for 10 years in a small family support organisation on the southern Gold Coast that developed a reputation for being creative, flexible and responsive. Matt is passionate about people with a disability having good and ordinary lives, and is committed to implementing and embedding the one person at a time approach to all aspects of service delivery. Hi, Matt. How are you, buddy?
Very well, Phil. Thank you very much. And thanks for having me on I Nightingale.
No troubles. I'd like to start with, what's your favourite board game?
Ooh, my favourite board game is definitely Scrabble.
Scrabble.
Yep. It's you know, it, I'm from a fairly competitive family, so we like the old Scrabble. Yep.
Do you play online now with your phones?
You know what? No, I'm old school. I like the board.
Yeah, you like to see it.
For real.
Yeah,
I do. Yeah.
No, that's cool. So, Matt, can you tell us what is Believe in People?
Yeah, Believe in People is a not-for-profit incorporated association. So we're fairly young in that we were incorporated just earlier this year. And the people who are members or who make up Believe in People is people with a disability, their families, and then the people who support them, whether that's in paid roles or in unpaid roles. So it's a very grassroots sort of group, and we're really focused on this idea that people are better served when support is offered and created one person at a time.
That's great. Yes. Yeah. So they're the centre focus of what you're doing.
Absolutely, yeah. And they we talk about decision-making needing to stay really close to the person. So if the person has the ability and capacity to make decisions for themselves, then of course they should. But then that decision-making can extend to a family member or an ally or someone quite close to them when they're not able to make the decision. And that way, what gets offered to them that's going to meet their needs is something that they've had a big say in and are really directing what's going on at whatever level they want to take that on.
That's amazing. That's really good. Because that's the problem these days. A lot of organisations have their set structure of the way they do things, the way they'll come in and give you service, but it might not be what the person actually needs. And so there's a mismatch between what the person actually needs and what they're actually given. So
yeah. And we would reflect on their services, and they're very well-meaning services, but when people are grouped together simply on the basis of their disability or impairment, that's kind of becoming a bit outdated. People with disability belong in ordinary communities doing the ordinary and typical things that everybody does, and so services are really in that transforming process at the moment of maybe not needing big centres where people come, but having more community-type workers that work alongside someone to see them linked in and embedded in their local area and meeting the people in their local area. Yeah.
That's right. Be part of the community again, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Why did you start Believe in People?
We started probably because we're a passionate group of people, and that passion just couldn't be contained in some of the service structures that I had been working in, because there's always going to be constraints around, you know, health and safety or financial, those sorts of things. And so we're driven then to set something up that meant we were really, I guess, connected with the people who were looking to be served, and that long term, we'd see a lot more individual governance or family governance, and they're sort of models that have existed in Queensland for a while, but not in our local area. And that's where perhaps a group of people with disability and their families might form a small collective or cooperative, and that service could be hosted by a larger organisation, but the decision making is really close to the people who are getting served. So that's been our real driver, is that sort of thinking.
Those little co-op groups are becoming bigger and bigger, aren't they? They're becoming a bigger part of the National Disability Scheme as well, aren't they?
I think they are, and I think it's because they've existed for a long time, but on a small scale. But now that we're moving so much closer towards the National Disability Insurance Scheme and people are getting the chance to have greater choice and control, it's actually the models that make more sense now, rather than the bigger models don't make as much sense because choice and control hasn't always rested with the person.
Yes. No, that is very true. What's your role in Believe in People, Matt?
Yeah, my primary role is that of chairperson. So as an incorporated association and not-for-profit, we have a set of model rules or constitution. So I lead that sort of that little team that directs where we're headed. But the thing I do most is bringing people together in workshop settings. So, for example, just yesterday we had probably about 15 people at a conversation around how to create valued social roles. And my job is to give some content or, I guess, the theory and some stories that back that up, and then open that up to the group and facilitate a conversation where everyone gets to share their ideas about how they're tackling the idea of developing and creating valued social roles.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's amazing, because we so need people to be aware that, you know, everyone has value to play in our community. So that's really good.
Yeah, and one of the things we think a lot about with valued social roles is when someone is known for being a gardener or an artist or a builder or whatever it might be, a painter, then if they're known for that, then they're not known for their label or their disability, because it's easy to fall into that trap of, oh, you know, he's cerebral palsy or she's autistic. But
yes,
it's what else is this person? You know, they're they've got a real passion for handbags and getting their nails done, and you know, he's actually writing a book or a piece of music. We can overlook those things because the disability needs kind of come to the top of the pile, and we're trying to say let's balance those with the human need for having valued roles, ways to contribute. Yeah,
exactly, because that's what they need to feel valued.
Absolutely, yeah.
Matt, yep. We're just going to go to a song, and
no worries,
we'll come back in a minute if that's all right.
Lovely, love to. Thanks, Phil.
Welcome back to Our Nightingale, and I'm talking with Matt Stone from Believe in People. So, Matt, what are some of the challenges you face in providing your service?
Oh, I think the challenge is probably convincing service providers that there's a need to change, or probably not so much the need to change, but how to go about transforming from what's been traditional service types to thinking more along the lines of one person at a time. And that's because it has implications for things like staffing and financials and all that. But in terms of effect, it certainly has been proved to be the best way to support people in the long term. So our challenge has been making contact and getting into good conversation with those providers so that, you know, we can just open up the dialogue. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so they can support you better. Is that the aim?
So that we can work together. I think if a service provider has had a long history of bringing people with a disability together in a group and running a program that's sort of got a 1-to-3 ratio, you know, of one worker to three people, and we're coming in and saying people do better when they're supported one person at a time, when they're focused on the person's gifts and strengths and interests and developing roles, it's a big step from where they are to where we're asking them to be. And so we want to engage with them about there's a way to get there, and it is sort of, you know, one step, one person at a time, but one step at a time. And once you begin, the benefits and that way of working become very motivating for not just the person with the disability and their family, but for those who are paid to support them. Suddenly it's not sort of the Groundhog Day experience anymore. People are trying new things and becoming known for more than their label and their disability, and that really excites people. They feel it's kind of values-based work. They can see that it's connected to the real reasons they got involved in the industry.
Yes, yeah. I totally agree with that. Because it's very much like a production line at the moment with a lot of services. Yeah. You've got 15 minutes. You either have a coffee or you want to shower. It's not both.
That's right. And I think what I've heard about you, Phil, and now Nightingale, about people remaining in their own homes, when people are just not in their own home but in their own neighbourhood and their own community, it's other people who keep people safe. It's not the service that's going to keep you safe. It's how well known you are and the fact that you're missed when you don't turn up for coffee. That's a better indication of good service than the fact that you were given the coffee.
Yeah.
It's whether you're missed in that coffee shop when you don't turn up on next Tuesday, you know?
Or even I find just the letterbox conversation, people overlook that, but just coming out once a day to get the letter, it's like, yeah, we know Mr. Smith's fine, they're doing okay, you know, have a quick chat, how was your night? Oh, I didn't sleep well. Yeah. You know, and if they don't come out, you know, or better go over and have a knock on the door, see what Mr. Smith is, if he's okay.
That's
People don't understand the value of just the letterbox chat. So
that's right, and maybe you know, those skills of just being a good neighbour are kind of overlooked for skills that are kind of almost more fancy than we need. We could do well just with sort of, I don't want to call it old-fashioned, but just, you know, good practice, just good, knowing people well.
Exactly, and getting them all. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
I totally agree with where you're coming from, Matt. That's exactly why we started iNightingales, because we realised that people need their own values to be worth something, and what they want in life, they need to be able to express that. So that's why we believe people can stay in their own home.
So,
what sort of people would be looking for believing people?
Probably the people we have the greatest amount of contact with are parents, and often it's the mum who takes the lead role in these things. So we do meet a lot more mums than dads. But the time when a young person's getting ready to leave school and head out to life after school, that's for a lot of families, that's a time of great excitement when you're in a mainstream school and you don't live with a disability. Sort of the world's your oyster. For a lot of families who have a family member with a disability, school has been quite a secure and it's a very known type of environment. And what's beyond that can be a bit frightening. And people aren't sure what types of programs or services they want to be involved in. And will those actually support ongoing development and lifelong learning for their family member? So we often meet those people that can have good chats about, you know, we're not saying don't go to some of those groups and those sorts of things, but make sure what's being offered is supporting the values and the vision that you have for your family member and is tapping into what they're really good at, not just their disability.
Yeah, that's amazing. That is so true. I really agree with that. How would people in the community find believing people?
Yeah, we do have a website. We're probably pretty slack sometimes at promoting ourselves, but our website is www.believeinpeople.com.au. And we also have an email which we respond to very regularly, and that's mailboxbippi, so mailboxbippi@gmail.com.
Bippy.
So that's the two ways to find us. So Bippy is Believe in People Inc. because we got incorporated. We're proud of that.
Bippy. Yeah, that's cool.
Bippy. Our little shortened name.
Oh, that's great. Can you give the listeners a quick inspiring story or something that's made you feel inspired recently?
Well, it's a work in progress. I have a great friend. His name is Cameron, and he's a man who lives with disability, so he gets around in a wheelchair, and he's living in a new area. And what we did just last week together was what we call a community audit. And that was we headed out into the neighbourhood that he's now living in with the intention of finding out what goes on there. Now, that sounds pretty simple, but we're really looking for what are all the opportunities that exist in this neighbourhood that connect with his values. So he absolutely loves his coffee. So our intention was to find a coffee shop where he could become a local. And we made a point of, you know, he introduced himself and got the name of the person behind the counter. And this is my usual coffee. We visited a travel agent because he's keen to go on a holiday soon. And it, making sure we do the introductions, that people are taking the time to listen to him, even if his speech might be hard to understand or his chair is a bit awkward to manoeuvre in the little travel agent. It's about asking people to take the time to see the person. And from there, we just kept going, the library, the regional council office, always looking for opportunities. And hopefully some of those will now start bouncing back to us.
That's great. That's a good idea.
It's a little strategy, and it works.
Yeah, that does work well. Just before we go, can you give one tip or piece of advice for people that they can do right now?
Yep, I think the most important thing is to sit down and think about the vision that you have for yourself, if you are the person with a disability, or the vision you have the life for your family member. Because one of the things that happens is if you don't write down that vision and have a positive vision for yourself, someone else is going to write that vision for you, and it might not be what you want. And that's where, you know, people can be placed somewhere, you know, that's not in their best interest. So I would sit down and write a vision, and it can be a few simple sentences about, you know, I want a life rich in family and friends, where I'm well known in my neighbourhood and contribute, you know, to the local neighbourhood in some way. You know, start with something simple and build on it, but writing down a vision and then using that to guide the types of services you say yes and no to. Yeah.
That's great. That's good. Yeah. Gold. That's absolutely gold.
That's good. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Matt, for sharing your time with us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And hopefully it inspires people to look outside themselves and see what else is out there. And Believe in People
That's
is a great initiative. And,
yep.
you know, this is where we want to be heading, is like, you know, looking after individuals and not just as a collective group of you've got this problem and look at it as a problem. It's like these are people that can be productive in our community. Like all of us, you know?
That's it. Yeah. That's just requires a bit of creativity. Yep.
Yeah. It's great. Great.
Yep. Good
well,
one.
You have a great day, Matt, and take care.
No worries. Thanks for having me on, Phil. Appreciate it.
No troubles. Bye-bye.
Okay. See you. Bye.
That was Matt Stone from Believe in People, and he's doing amazing work. That's really made me pump the air today. I'm really excited, so hope you got a lot out of it too.
Lunch break.
Welcome back to Our Nightingale, and now we have lunch break with Ronsley Vars. Ronsley, how are you, mate?
Phil, fantastic. How are you?
Oh, I've been really good this week. Worked all over the public holiday weekend, so we had a lot of people through the door and in the emergency department, so it was quite good. Wide and varied. That was really cool.
Yeah. So it was busy and it was quite good.
Yeah, so, yeah, I had a lot of varied things, and especially falls, like elderly people falling over was a big thing. But I did have one lady, elderly lady, come in, and she had food poisoning, and we think it was from eggs. So I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about how to be safe with preparing eggs and how to store them, if that's all right, buddy.
Yeah.
Just because this poor lady, we had to admit her to hospital, and she needed litres of fluids and stuff.
What made you think that was because of eggs?
It was the only thing different in her diet was she had a boiled egg at lunch, and that was the only real difference to a normal diet. So I don't know how it was cooked at home or how long it was left for, and I thought, oh, you know, she wasn't in a good way. She needed to be admitted to hospital for it. So I thought, oh, it might be a good thing is, you know, making people aware of making sure they're safe with how they're preparing eggs.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose eggs, just like chicken, is quite, difficult. Not difficult, but could potentially be quite dangerous.
Yeah.
However, there's a big taboo around eggs, and a lot of people say you should only eat the egg if it's entirely cooked, or you should only eat the yolk of the egg, and sorry, you should only eat the white of the egg and not the yolk because of the cholesterol, and all that is false. So to be aware that of the misconceptions, I suppose, of the different schools of thought out there, the yolk of the egg has all the nutrients in it, so it's very good for you. It is high in cholesterol, but it's high in good cholesterol, and it's good for you.
Yeah.
So don't avoid the yolk as opposed to, you know, the other part of the yolk. That's the big one with eggs. So if for you to find out whether an egg is good, you just dunk it in a pot of water.
Yeah.
And if the egg floats, it means that it's not good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so it's past its use by date.
Yeah, because it develops an air pocket inside, which allows the egg to float. So the eggs should typically sink to the bottom
And what if you're cooking eggs? How long can you store them for?
You can store them in the fridge for about 3 to 4 days.
No longer?
No, no longer. I mean, it's not safe. You can store it longer, but I would just be very aware of. Also, it depends on the kinds of eggs you're getting. So if you get fresh, free-range egg, you're looking at everything being good for you.
Yeah.
So then that's why it's good for you. But if you're looking at buying just the normal caged eggs, then you don't know really what's been in it, if it's got hormones or whatever.
Oh, right, eh? Okay.
So always buy free-range eggs. Yeah. Even better, if you know the farmer, it's even better.
Yeah.
So that's always a good sign. Also, when you start peeling the egg, if the egg doesn't peel properly, then the egg's obviously past its use-by date.
Oh, really? So if it doesn't come off cleanly?
Yeah. You could have undercooked it, but if it's cooked properly, then and it doesn't come off the shell really well, then it's really past its use-by date.
Okay, so that's really good.
Yeah, and also like the color of the egg as well will tell you, like the darker the yolk, the better the egg.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I hope it. People should get some good advice from that, because this poor woman, she couldn't keep anything down, and like you say, it is dangerous. If she left it another 12 hours, she would have been in ICU with this gastro bug.
So
I was like, it is an important thing to make sure that your food handling is, up to date and you understand. So that's what I thought of doing.
The best thing about storing an egg is that once you boil the egg, store it in the shell and then use it and then peel the egg when you're ready to consume it. So don't peel the egg. That's probably something that I'd do.
Cool. Well, thanks for your help today, buddy.
Yeah, cheers, Phil.
And where can people find you?
You can find me at bond-appetit.com.
That's cool.
Yeah. And looking forward to seeing you at the KPI event.
Yeah. Are you coming?
I don't know what the one next week, but I'll definitely be at the rendezvous. I'm not sure what you guys are going to be at the rendezvous, but that's in November.
Yeah. Oh, right. No, that'll be cool. Catch up with you then. That's good. And if people want any more questions about food, just go to Ronsley's site, and he has a great little section down the bottom where you can leave a general comment and he'll answer it for you, or get someone in the know to answer it for you. So thanks for your help today, mate. That was awesome.
Not a problem, Phil.
You take care.
Have a good one. Yeah,
okay. Bye-bye, Ronsley.
Mate. Bye.
So that was Ronsley Vars from Bond Appetit. So you can go to his site at getbonding.com and have a look around. Welcome back to iNightingale, and we have our weather report now. So it's currently 29 degrees and a top of 31. So we're getting up to the hotter temperatures coming into spring and summer. Possible shower developing in the afternoon and evening. So it should be a nice day to get out and about and do a few of those things, like maybe going for a drive up to Toowoomba Town and seeing the Beatles, or going into the city and seeing the Black Digger exhibition. That'd be really cool.
Lounge Room Lux.
All right, just a bit of a funny before lunch, and this Lounge Room Laughs, if I can get my right piece of paper, that would be handy too. So my first joke is, have you ever heard of the music group called Cellophane? They mostly rap. Oh, that is a funny one. I love that one. And I love this one too. I went to a really emotional wedding the other day. Even the cake was in tears. So boom, boom. So that's a couple you can tell the grandkids and they'll keep them laughing. So I'd just like to thank Coral for producing my show today, and our guest Matt Stone of Believe in People. So go check him out at believeinpeople.com.au. It's a really nice website. It's quite elegant, actually, and the logo on the front was done by a fellow called Rob Ryan. That looks really cool. And I hope you enjoyed Ronsley Vars's lessons on how to deal with eggs and make sure that you're safe with using eggs. And you got some good tips of making sure it doesn't float in water and then, you know, peels easily. So that's really good to know, because you can get very sick if you don't watch out what you're doing with eggs. So thanks for listening. Really appreciate you being here and listening to what we have to say. And hopefully it gives you a chance to have another avenue to stay at home and realise, you know, there's big world out there to help you out and keep you at home. My name's Phil Singos. If you want to tweet me at Phil Singos, or you can tweet a message to at Phoenix Radio, would love to hear what your thoughts were. So thanks for listening to iNightingale Show. My name's Phil, here to help you care. Okay, bye-bye.